So I'm probably similar to many of you in the fact that I'm not very good with technology. And for years, I ran my practice on a platform, a big platform that I had lots of issues with. And never once was I able to get on the phone with somebody to actually help me out with the problem that I was having. This is one of the main reasons why we decided to switch over to PT Everywhere, because when we got set up, every time that we've had a problem, I can reach out to their customer service, and I'm actually talking to another human being that knows what's going on with my platform that can help solve a problem for me and me not spin my wheels trying to figure out all by myself and wasting my entire day. It's one of the reasons why we love the platform so much. We love the people so much. Started by a cash practice owner, and really the goal is to help practices, cash practices like ours, grow, scale, and be as efficient as we possibly can be. So if you've been frustrated with lack of customer service, of somebody responding to you and helping answer your questions, look no further. PT Everywhere does an amazing job by helping you be successful with their platform. So head over to pteverywhere.com and check out what they've got going on. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question. And this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today we're talking about one of the reasons why people work with us, in these cash practices, in these performance-based practices, movement-based practices, in particular. And this stems from a offsite that we did last week, actually, with Athletes Potential. So I'm not too involved in the day-to-day anymore. I am there probably one day a month, probably less than that, probably like 2 hours a month, let me put it that way. So I'm not super involved in the day-to-day anymore. It's more high-level things. And I'm absolutely involved in any of the offsites that we do. So we do a team offsite this year. It's a little more limited. We usually will like take everybody somewhere, on a short trip. But we did this at a co-working space in Atlanta, and then went to dinner together after that, and that was our day. We spent the whole day working on high-level things. They actually, the team actually went and did a team workout before that. I dropped the kids off, so I missed that part of it. But they got some cool stuff in there where they got to, really solidify the culture, and I think it's a really important thing to do. I'll probably have an entire a separate podcast on the benefit of these team offsites, or even if it's just by yourself, like the importance of being in a different location, I think is really powerful. But one of the things we went through was an exercise about the people that we work with and why they work with us. So we had our entire team kind of write down, why do people work with us? What are they gaining? What are they losing out on by not working with us? And so all of our staff wrote down their answers to this. And then we talked about it. And we had a big whiteboard session. It took us a couple hours to go through just this one exercise and get really kind of granular about what people are doing with us, why they're really working with us, and what we're actually accomplishing with them. And one thing that I've never really thought of, and this is actually it's so awesome to get together with other people and just sort of share your thoughts on some of these exercises. And one of our staff members, is one of our PTs, he talked about one of the things that we deal with, and one of the challenges we help solve for people, is a loss of identity and creating a new identity from an injury. Or maybe it's multiple injuries or a series of injuries that have led somebody to kind of a bad mental state. He talked about one of the guys that he works with. So he's 60. His patient is, and he's been a high level athlete his whole life. Competed at the collegiate level in multiple sports. Was a competitive triathlete, played competitive team sports for a long time. He's 60 now, and he's had a string of really bad setbacks. Pretty significant injuries and surgeries and things that required a lot of rehab and, you know, lengthy recoveries from surgeries. And he came to see us, and our provider was saying that he felt like the most sort of valuable thing that this guy has gotten with his time with us is the understanding that the identity that he had as a high-level athlete, as a competitor, was taken away from him, you know, via these injuries that he had. And, you know, for this guy, it was a huge part of his identity. And many of us have been there that have had injuries as well, where, you know, maybe you have a really serious injury that ends your career as an athlete in one sport, and you are so tied to that because you've spent so much time there and you have so much invested in your ability to perform in, frankly, you know, this game, you know, whatever it might be, but this sport that you are passionate about, and you have a lot of your identity that is wrapped up with this. We see this a lot with football players that we've had a chance to work with that are no longer in the NFL, and they're trying to figure out what to do. You know, like I worked with a guy that was a first round draft pick. He was an offensive tackle. He had played in the league for 12 years. You know, he never had to work another day in his life. He was, you know, financially made more money than he probably could ever spend. And he was frankly depressed. You know, he had the body of a man 20 years his age. He had more surgeries than I can remember. And, you know, he didn't know what to do. He didn't have a job. He kind of volunteered at this Humane Society, basically, a few hours a week, and played video games. And that was it, you know. And he was frustrated because he couldn't train. He was frustrated because he didn't know what to do with his life. He didn't have to do anything, which is, it sounds nice, but it's also, in his own right, it's frustrating. He had nothing to wake up for, if you think of it that way. And for us, you know, we were working with him, obviously, on pain. But the biggest thing that this guy and the guy that our other staff member was referencing took away was our ability to help them understand that there's still many things they can do. And it's just a matter of figuring out what that is and how to create a plan physically. And then who else do we need to get involved outside of that to help them achieve whatever that new goal is, whatever that new challenge is, that might be slightly different than where they were at before, but it doesn't mean that they have to just give up and just sit on the couch and, you know, just wait to die one day, right? Like, that's miserable. And, you know, people will pay for a couple of visits with you to help with their knee pain or to help with their back pain or whatever, you know, injury you want to sub in there. But they will work with you for a lifetime if you help them move from the loss of one identity to creating a new identity after the challenge of injuries and setbacks that stop them from doing things that they get enjoyment out of and being around people that they enjoy being around and competing and doing these other things that, you know, they love and they want to do, you know, in some form or fashion. And the vast majority of medical community just tells people to stop. How often have you had a patient come in that says, yeah, my doctor told me I just shouldn't run anymore. My doctor just told me that I shouldn't squat anymore. My doctor told me that I shouldn't play softball anymore or whatever. And it's not that doctors are wrong necessarily. They're right with their scope of what they've learned, you know, and with the time that they have as well. So their best advice for somebody probably is just to stop. Oh, that hurts. Just stop doing it. And they don't have time to figure out, oh, this is really important to you because of X, Y, and Z. Versus us, what we get to understand is, well, what are your goals and why is this important to you? And how can we create, you know, some sort of compromise where you have to be involved in this and take care of yourself if you want to, you know, put more miles on your body and you want to really push yourself still. You have to have some amount of self-care, some amount of structure of how you're training appropriately, about, you know, talking about sleep and stress management and nutrition and movement and improving these things as variables that lead to longevity and performance and the ability to continue to participate in whatever it is that they want to actually be a part of. And that is something that I've never really thought about as a key driver as to why people work with us or why people stick around with us. But after I heard him say that, you know, I thought to myself, like, this is spot on. Like, it's, I thought back to all these patients that I've helped that they essentially had lost their identity because they associated with something physical that they could no longer do. And when we were able to get them either back to that and or some variation of that, you know, with the understanding and the information, the knowledge to take care of themselves long term, those are the people that never stopped working with me. You know, they just worked with me forever. And that relationship is great for a number of levels. It's the business, obviously. It's great to have recurring clients that see value in what you're doing. And you're not just keeping them around because it's good for the business. You're keeping them around because it's good for them. And they love they get a chance to work with you. And that is good for your business as well. And, you know, it's good for them because for them to have accountability and somebody that they can trust and leverage your, you know, subject matter expertise in order to help them live, you know, a more active, fulfilled life, like, that's so valuable, you know. And it's not even a discussion of price at this point. It's nothing to do with that. It's like, you're one of the last things that they want to, you know, remove from their life because of how much value they see in it. And that idea that we can help people reframe these things and be a part of their journey is very, very important to remember that we do that, to be intentional with that, to be aware of that, and to have these discussions with people and not just brush it off as, you know, oh, they said not to do that, so you shouldn't do that, right? Versus, well, I wonder why they said that, and what have you been doing, and what are we missing, and what things haven't we applied yet or tried yet, and, you know, are you bought in on this? Do you have the discipline to follow through on some of these things? And when we start to get to that level with people, we tend to see massive amounts of not just retention with these folks, but also trust that leads to word of mouth referrals that come in every single month from people because of how much you're affecting their life in a positive way and how few people in the healthcare community are actually willing to help people work on some of these deeper level things and get a better understanding of that. And we have to develop trust in order to get there. And trust doesn't come from how you dry needle somebody's shoulder. Trust comes from how well you listen to them, how well you ask questions, and also what you do after. Like, how do you handle yourself? Are you responsive with that person? Do you do what you say you're going to do? Are you on time? You know, do you make that referral when it's necessary instead of hanging on to them for that extra visit just because you want to be able to get your numbers up a little bit that next week? That's really what it comes down to. And these are the things that you have to do on a day in and day out basis to really provide what is, you know, the best healthcare experience this person has ever had. And if you do that, marketing becomes a lot less challenging. Sales becomes a hell of a lot easier because when you have people that show up and they have a friend that has vetted you extensively and talked about how much you've changed their life, it doesn't matter what you charge. It doesn't matter what you tell them you need them to commit to because they're already bought in because somebody that they trust a hell of a lot more than you has already done that. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT Entrepreneur, and we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.